Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Captain's Run with Cameron Smith. We are here for Chemist Warehouse. Head into Chemist Warehouse for great savings every day. And Spitwater, Spitwater high pressure cleaners, tools, not toys, tough and ready. Now we've got the Titans v the Tigers, Thursday, 7:50 p.m. at Cbus Super Stadium. Fifita rested after delayed concussion symptoms followed the Rabbitohs loss. Brimson returns at fullback. Brian Kelly comes in at centre. Sammy goes to wing. Verrill starts at hooker. Tigers, no team changes. I think, for me personally, Smithers, and obviously I'll get your thoughts, but
yeah,
Jaden Campbell at six again. I am very surprised at that. What are your thoughts on this game, mate?
Yeah, a little bit interesting, that move. Actually, when I turned the tally on last week and seen Campbell with the six jersey on, I was a little bit surprised. I feel as though his best position in that footy side is one. I think that's when he's most dangerous. Maybe that's just what has to happen for the footy side at the moment, is he plays six. Instead of one, just better for the combinations. But they were disappointing. Their first half, they were out there competing. They were playing really well against the Rabbitohs, but then the Rabbitohs just went bang in their second half. That's the biggest challenge for Justin Holbrook right now and the coaching staff at the Gold Coast Titans, is trying to extract an 80-minute performance out of the Titans.
Yeah.
I don't know how, and it's so consistent that they play so well in the first half, or they play some pretty good football in the first half, and then when they go to the sheds, it's like they forget how to play football, and they're just like in a lot of the areas that they're competing in the first 40 minutes, they stop competing in the second, and that's when the opposition just go thank you and just go bang 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 tries like the Rabbitohs did on the weekend. Off the top of my head, there's probably one game this year, Kempe, where they've actually gone out and played a similar style of footy in the second half as they did in the first, was when the Titans played the Storm. And they beat the Storm.
Yeah.
At home. It was a Sunday Arvo game, probably 4 or 5 weeks ago now. That's the only 80-minute performance I've seen from them all year. Like, they are specialists at blowing good leads and allowing opposition teams back into the game. I just don't know what it is that can fix that. As far as the Tigers, they could probably count themselves a little bit unlucky last week with that result against the Raiders. Obviously, a late penalty. They're up by 1 point, but a late penalty to the Raiders cost them a victory. But I think they'll come up here pretty confident. I think they'll be very confident, actually. I'm working on this game, so it's going to be interesting to see. It'll be a good game, fairly evenly matched. Fifita out, being rested after those delayed symptoms. AJ Brimson, I think that adds a lot to their footy side. Brian Kelly back in, he's strong, big, strong centre. And Verrills, of course, at hooker with Chris Randall. He's suspended. He got a week's suspension, so... Maybe with Brimson coming back in, it just gives them a small edge over the Tigers. But, as I said, very even matched footy game this one. I think the Titans just. Although the Tigers have been, they're building slowly through this season, and they've put in some pretty impressive performances too.
Yeah, I'm actually on Tigers just. Well, I just think they've played more 80-minute games over the last month. They've stayed in games for 80 minutes. Now, on the weekend, for example, they had 7 line breaks to 0 against the Raiders. And, all of the Raiders' tries were basically, well, not all, but 2 of them were off deflections. Yeah. And I just think the Tigers have been playing really good footy. Even you look at the game against the Rabbitohs, it was 6-0 with like 70 minutes in. And I just think if they play that grindy style of footy, the Titans have proven that they just don't like it. They just do not enjoy grindy styles of footy. And I wonder, when I look at the Titans, I wonder, like, are they harsh enough in the standards they set at training? Yeah, it's it's a fine balance between being understanding and caring of this next generation that's coming through, but then also being harsh enough to say, no, this is not good enough. We do not accept it. Because the problem at the Titans is this is going on for years now. Like, this isn't a new phenomenon with them where they're just all of a sudden, you know, they've been playing first half footy or at least one half footy for probably, what do you reckon, 4 years, 3 years?
Yeah. Well, I think that was something that they did identify in the back end of last year, and some changes were made, particularly with their some of their staff. So they've got some new staff there, and speaking to some of the people involved with the Gold Coast Titans, they said there's been an improvement and a change with their training, particularly in the preseason, in the early games where they're mentally, well, they've done work on their mental strength, right, to improve themselves. But it's just that if they're working on this and showing it at training, it's not transferring onto the field.
Mm.
Because there's, you know, I think we spoke about this a few weeks ago. It can't be that. There's been games this year where they've had leads where, you know, they're a good enough football side and they've got enough, you know, great players in their team to close out games, and they haven't had the ability to do it for whatever reason, whether it be through decision making or poor choices, whatever it be, ill discipline. I reckon it's a mix of all of those things. If they were to win, let's say, half of those games that they've thrown away, they'd be in the top eight.
Yeah.
Like, they'd be in the thick of the top eight.
Yep.
Almost closing in on the top four. So that's the type of footy side they can be. But that's what I'm saying about the challenge for the coaching staff. It's not about trying to get these guys to win games. They can do that. What they need to do is extract an 80-minute performance out of them.
Yep, mate. Actually, I'm not even going to say it. I disagree. Disagree. Okay. I think they are an 80-minute footy side. I think that we're reading into things too. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. Now, let's go to the next game. Let's preview our game of the round thanks to Suncorp. Building a more resilient Queensland, that's the Suncorp spirit. Raiders v. the Warriors. Jared Croker returns for his 300th game. Albert Hoppe-Whitey goes to the wing. Kotrick to the bench. Chris also returns at fullback. Whitehead returns for suspension at second row. Warrior team news, Liatua will make his NRL debut at centre. Rocco Berry is the only change from last week. Wow, what a incredible moment for Raiders, but also what an opportunity to be the party poopers in the Warriors.
Yeah, and I'll actually leave the game sort of preview to you, because I just want to speak about Jared Croker. It's a huge milestone, 300 games. There's not too many guys that have been able to achieve this special milestone in the game. And the way that he's been able to find this or reach this magic number hasn't come without its challenges. Mm. He's had some severe injuries, you know, throughout his entire career, you know, knee injuries, shoulder injuries. I think he's had some groin issues as well. So he's battled his way all the way to 300. And you know what? There's a little bit of criticism last week with the decision to not play, so that his 300th fell on a home match in Canberra. Oh, you know what? I'm all for it. Good on him. Like, if he's stuck in there and done the work to get to 300, then I think he deserved the opportunity to play in front of these home fans. And good on Ricky and the players to back himself into. To travel away from home, play without, you know, Jared Croker and get a win, and then move to this week. But you know, I just want to congratulate, you know, Jared Croker on his great career of, you know, playing such great football for Canberra. He's club captain there, of course. He's been a club captain. You know, he's been such an integral part of, you know, some of the success that they've had over there in that time. And just being able to get himself to 300 has been so impressive, because I think, you know, we've heard comments from him to say, like, there's been moments in his career where he thought, well, it's all over. Like, he wasn't going to get an opportunity to get out there and play 300. So, mate, hats off to Jared. He's a wonderful footballer. He's a champion bloke. And I'm sure this will be a memorable moment for himself and his entire family.
Oh, mate, absolutely. Matter of fact, instead of hats off, headgear's off. How about that one?
Oh, headgear's off. Mate, I actually seen you during the week. You did an entire show with headgear on.
I literally, I got all the boys together. We wore a headgear for 3 hours, and then we had a shirt with his head on it. Mate, I agree with you, mate. Croker, what an incredible lesson to young players as well that, you know, it would have been very easy for him to go, okay, I've played 280 games. I'm out of the 17. I'm better than playing reserve grade. I'm a first grader. I'm a club legend. He said, no, you know, I'm the same bloke as I was when I was about to make my debut. I'm happy to go back to reserve grade, work my butt off, and earn my way back into the side. And now he's going to be in a class of 300 players. As you said, like, I agree with you, mate. I think it was fantastic for Ricky to show strong leadership and the playing group, because this is a man's life's work, and it is the tippity top of the tippity top. So to make your debut is hard enough. To play 20 games is hard enough. Then we go, you know, 50, 100, 300 games. It is an absolutely incredible achievement. So mass congratulations, Croker. In regards to the game.
Yes.
Raiders.
Well, mate, I hope the Green Machine get one for him. Mm. But in saying that, they're taking on a side that's playing so well. So well. Led by, Sean Johnson. He has found career best form. Mm. It's incredible. It's incredible the way he's playing and the way he's moving. He looks like he's moving so freely. He's regained that confidence that he had, you know, like back in, you know, the day, 2011, 12, 13, when he was, you know, one of the best players in the NRL, running freely. He looks like he's got his speed and his zip back, kicking well, making great decisions, like leading the team around the park. Outside of Jared Croker's 300, this is a huge game for the Raiders. Huge game. This is a big test.
Massive test. I mean, they're sitting at sixth. Warriors are at seventh. The points are 18 for the Raiders, 16 for the Warriors. So they can actually put two wins between themselves and the Warriors and the Dolphins, if the Dolphins obviously don't get up. And all of a sudden, you wouldn't say they're cemented in the top eight, but geez, it goes a long way in such a tight, tight ladder. I think the Raiders boys will get up. So I'm backing the Raiders in.
Yep.
But this Warriors side, it's different. It's so much different to it 2 to 3 years ago. Like, they really, if the Dolphins weren't the swan song or the Cinderella story of the NRL, we'd be talking about the Warriors.
Yeah. Mate, absolutely. Like, the turnaround has been unbelievable. And I think we spoke about this last year when we spoke a lot about the Warriors and their situation. And we did acknowledge that, you know, the fact that they'd been away from home, as soon as they moved back to New Zealand and they were at home, they were around their friends and family and whatnot, like, they'd be a happier team. And it's shown on the footy field with the performances that they're putting out every week. So, look, big game. That's why it's our match of the round. I'm thinking Raiders because of the occasion for Jared Croker, but this will be a good one.
Yeah, fine. It'll be a fine balance between not being too over, you know, passionate for that first 20 and just staying calm. Now, game around, thanks to Suncorp. Make sure you're Queensland covered. Search Suncorp Insurance for a quote today. That's the Suncorp spirit. After the break, we'll continue our round 15 preview. Welcome back to the Captain's Run. Let's get into it. Sea Eagles v the Dolphins at 8 p.m. Four Pines Park. Sea Eagles team, Trbojevic, has been cleared by the NRL and is named at fullback. Garrick shifts to centres. Tui Polotu comes onto the wing. Aloe returns from injury on the bench. Dolphins, Wallace and Milford both out with suspension while Gilbert is out with injury. Marshall King returns at hooker. Join the side, SASA, and Kurt Donoghue also join the side. How do you see this one playing out, Smithers?
Well, they love playing at Four Pines, Manly, don't they? Mm. And they'll be buoyed by the inclusion of Tommy Turbo, as we mentioned earlier, cleared by the NRL and is named to play at fullback, which allows Ruben Garrick to shift to the centres. And also, I think Josh Aloye, he's been out with he had a dislocated shoulder, didn't he? Going back maybe a month, 6 weeks ago, I think he's been out. So a couple of big ins for Manly there. With the Dolphins, talking about a couple of big ins for Manly, they've got a couple of big outs through suspension, as well as Tommy Gilbert through injury. Of course, Jeremy Marshall-King at hooker, who's been superb from them all year. it's been hard to look past the Dolphins to just perform under any type of adversity, whether it be, you know, suspension, injuries, you know, things not going well for them at any stage throughout this year, which, you know, they've had to deal with for most games. But I think this one, it might be just a little bit too difficult. Travelling down to Sydney, I think the Sea Eagles, they'll be up for a big one. Quite a big one, actually, mate, in front of their home crowd. As I said, you know, Turbo back at fullback, you know, and having, you know, that opportunity to have a well-earned rest last week. They're coming off a bye. They'll be fresh. Dolphins travelling to New Zealand, coming home. I'm thinking the Sea Eagles just a little bit too strong in this one.
Yeah, the Tom Trbojevic inclusion really does change a lot. You know, if he was out, I'd probably back the Dolphins in, but Tommy Turbo back after a disappointing origin for everyone in the New South Wales camp. He's going to have a point to prove. But the Dolphins, as you said, they're so hard to tip against. You could put the Dolphins against Penrith and I'd still hesitate to tip against it.
Yeah. Well, last week, like with that 30-8 loss against the Warriors, is that really the only second sort of blowout that they've had all year?
Yep.
The other one being the other one being sort of early in the season against the Dragons down in Sydney. So, you know, nearly every game that they've played in, you know, particularly when they've lost, it's they've made the other team earn it, right up to the end of the game. The game hasn't been over until sort of right at the death, and even right at the death, you know, the Dolphins they're looking for opportunities. They're pushing the opposition right to the final siren when they're trying to look for points. So I just think this might be a little bit too difficult, though, particularly, as you mentioned, mate, when they have an inclusion like Tommy. I think that inspires and gives a lot of confidence to the rest of his team members, knowing that he's going to be back there. I'd just love to see him open up, and just play that style of footy that we know he can play, like he did the week before the first Origin.
Mm. I agree. I think, you know, from a Seagulls perspective, it's not now or never yet, but it's getting very close to now or never for their season to get going and get some consistent rugby league together, because as combinations start to get better in those top tier sides, it's only going to get harder to beat the top tier side. Like, for example, the Brisbane Broncos, it's only going to get harder to beat them as the season goes on. The Penrith Panthers, when Cleary returns, is going to be fresh. You look at the Rabbitohs as well. Like, the Rabbitohs only have 8 more games the rest of this season. So it's not going to get easier to get into the 8 as the season progresses, in my opinion. But let's get to the next game. Dragons versus Rabbitohs. Apologies. Saturday, 3 p.m., Nastrada Jubilee Stadium. Murdoch Masilla replaces DeBellin, who was out with concussion. Musgrove is a new face on the bench. Laurie and Jack Bird are named in the reserves and could play. Rabbitohs team news. Latrell Mitchell, Cam Murray, Jai Arrow, all out. Also, as we said earlier, Cody Walker potentially out. We're not sure, but has left training early. And they are reporting, Danny Wyler is reporting, a minor quad strain. The South officials have said it's, you know, they're quite confident it's not a big deal. So stay tuned for more news on that on SEN. Blake Taff stays at fullback. Shaq Mitchell starts at lock. That's interesting. Shaq Mitchell, the lock. He's a big boy. Havili joins the bench for his first game of the year, which is a huge in. How do you see this playing out, Smithers?
Well, look, I reckon a lot of it hinges on Cody Walker and his fitness.
Mm.
Given the players that are already out, like Mitchell, Cam Murray, Jai Arrow, that's a big chunk of, you know, the quality players in that outfit. And not just quality players, like they're great leaders. They're great leaders of that footy side. So, if Walker plays, I reckon Rabbits win. Yeah. If he's ruled out, I reckon the Dragons could knock the Rabbits over here.
Mate, I hate to do it, but I agree. I agree. Now I know.
I actually think they could. You know, like they. Now I know they played, you know, majority of the game last week against Penrith, minus Cleary. But Jack Cogger come on and played really well. He set up a lovely try off his boot. But they tested Penrith at times.
Would you consider Latrell Mitchell at 6 Oh, sorry, he's out. He's out. My bad.
Yeah,
my bad.
No, Mitchell's out, mate. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's a lot of this decision around this game and who wins, it hinges on Walker, whether he's there or not. If that's what I mean, if they decide to rest him, then I'm thinking possibly, you know, the Dragons having a win here. And the thing with the Walker situation, and considering where the Rabbitohs are right now, like they're sitting quite high on the ladder. You know, they're sitting, they're third. They've got 18 competition points. I don't think they've had a bye, though.
No, they haven't.
You know what I mean? They've got three byes in the bank that are coming down the track. So, you know, at the cost of maybe possibly dropping a game now, just to make sure that your star number six doesn't risk any further injury, I think it's actually worth it. I think it's actually worth it. Mm. You know, coming from someone that's got nothing to do with the Rabbitohs, so our this is just our opinion, and it's not going to have any effect on, you know, what their selection and whether they include Cody Walker. But it is a big risk, especially if he goes out in the field and he's at any possibility of making that injury worse. I think they pull him out.
I wonder who goes into the halves. I think it's a huge opportunity for Lachie Ilias to, you know, that becomes his team, because not only is he missing Walker, he's missing Latrell Mitchell, he's missing Cam Murray, Damien Cook, obviously a senior player. But yeah, it is a big opportunity for Lachie Ilias to go, okay, I need to step up here. My troops are down and, you know, I'm the next guy up. In regards to the Dragons, I actually think the Dragons have been playing some pretty good footy since Anthony Griffin left. I know that they've lost, I think, two from two now, I think. So they beat the Roosters, lost and lost to the Dolphins, then lost to the Panthers. But I don't think their footy's been, well, especially against the Panthers. I thought the Dragons played pretty well against the Panthers. I really do.
Yeah. And mate, they've showed again, this is another side that they show great form in patches, but just they're unable to put any sort of consistency together about their footy. But if they get it right, they're a good side. They're a good squad. They're a quality squad. They got many, many strengths about their football team. And if they put it all together, they're a very good side. So, yeah, I just think that it's a straightforward one for me. If Walker plays, I think the Rabbits win. If he's out, if he's ruled out, which I think if they side with, you know, the cautionary side of things, I think they take him out of the match and just rest him. And if he does, I think the Dragons might win it.
Now, we actually got a couple of texts here, which is quite funny. Hey, Kempy, why don't you just go first? That way, Smithy is just always agreeing with you. Kev from Camden. Hey, that's some tactics right there. I tell you what, though, there's one thing we did disagree on. You say that it'll be Hines, Luai, and Appy as the 9, 6, 7.
Yep.
I say that it will be Cookie, Hines, Walker. There you go, people. There you go. We're going to head to a break.
We've disagreed.
There you go. We're going to head to a break. After the break, we've got more footy to preview. Welcome back to the Captain's Run with Cameron Smith. Let's get into Broncos v Knights. Saturday, 5:30, Suncorp Stadium. Oh, mate, does not get much better than that. Sol and Cobbo returns on the wing. Jesse Arthurs moves to 18th man. Tyson Frizzell returns from Origin duty and replaces Jack Johns. Utility Kurt Mann joins the bench in place of Lachie Miller. How do you see this one, Smithers?
Well, off the back of last week, I think the Broncos just continue their winning ways. It was pretty impressive with the way in which they went about their business last week. You know, we've seen some better football played by the Broncos, but the way they defended was, you know, it was pretty impressive, particularly with some of those guys backing up from Origin. And they were just tough. They played tough. It's the style of footy that you have to, or the attitude, the mindset you need to take down to Shark Park to play against Cronulla, because they make it hard for you. They make it uncomfortable. They make it tough. And the way they were able to defend their way to a really strong victory, you know, and there was a touch of brilliance at times, particularly the Ezra Mam try.
They
went from one end of the field to the other. You know, Jordan Ricci taking, I think it was the intercept, and then they went all the way up the other end. That was pretty impressive. But I think with the way that they defended and just hung in there in those tough situations, that was the thing I took away from that match that most impressed me. And I think that will be you know, that'll be the thing that really makes it difficult for Newcastle this week. Mm. You know, Newcastle, they're a side of late that have shown, you know, that they've given us some pretty good performances. But you know, they've come off, well, they had a strong victory against Manly, and then they've had a bye, and then they're into this week. So they're going to be fresh, but I think Brisbane at home, just off the performance last week, I think everyone's starting to believe that the Broncos are the real deal this year.
Mm. Mate, I agree. I know, mate,
everyone knows that, you know, you're a big Broncos man and you've been saying this for a long time, but I think, you know, we can honestly say now that they are premiership contenders.
Mate, I think that this year, you know, for the first probably, let's say, 6 to 7 rounds, it yep. was winning purely off our roster. Like, guys yep. just stepping up, big moments, big plays. Whereas I think the last 4 weeks, even though we haven't won every game, the tough part of the game, the tough that it doesn't require talent, it doesn't require a good roster, it yep. just requires ticker. We've proven that we have that. Now, it's a long season and, it, you know, things can change. But I thought on the weekend that was finally where I could say I think that the Broncos can win the comp this year. Will they win the comp? That's a totally different question. But I do think they have the side to win the comp this year. In regards to the Knights, it's really interesting because not much is being talked about this. And I know Kalen has said that he's ruling himself out for Origin selection, but this is Reece Walsh versus Kalen Ponga.
Yeah.
Bit of a juicy matchup.
Yeah. Well spotted. It's, oh, look, I'm sure that it'll add a little bit of extra spice to the storyline this week. And no doubt that that'll be written about and spoken about in the lead up to this game, because, you know, there's no doubt, like, as a competitor, Kalen will want to go out and perform well against the guy that's wearing the number one jersey for the Maroons.
Mm, yeah.
There's no doubt about that. I'm sure he'll be up for a huge game.
I cannot wait. I cannot wait for it. And in regards to the Knights, look, the tough thing for the Knights, and I know this sounds harsh and unfair because they have shown a lot of grit, but my concern mm-hmm. this season for the Knights is, as a club and as a team, have they made progress towards a new version of themselves? Have mm. they moved forward and closer to answers that questions they had started the season? And if I'm being honest, I don't think they have. Kalen is now back at fullback. Lockie Miller has been dropped completely from the side. You know, they traded one of the best young props, under-19 props for New South Wales, for Lockie Miller, so that's a big trade away.
Yep.
I don't see, put it this way, I am not any clearer in the direction of the Knights as a club this round as I was round one.
Yeah.
And that's concerning in my opinion.
Yeah, well, nothing's really changed, has it? As you mentioned, like they look very much the same as what they were last year, very much up and down. And we always talk about, like, what you want to see from individuals and particularly teams season by season is a gradual improvement. Now, I know there's going to be changes. When you have mass changes to your squad and retirements and people moving on and whatnot, you might have a little bit of dip. But for a squad like the Knights, you know, you'd like to have seen a very different sort of position that they'd be in right now. I know a bit of that would be surrounded by, you know, the situation with Kalen Ponga, how he's missed a lot of football and, you know, some changes made there with positions and all that sort of stuff. There's been, you know, moving from fullback to 5'8". Now he's back at fullback. So that takes a little bit of getting used to. But, yeah, it's very much the same story as last year. In saying that, though, like they are on 15 competition points. Now, it's a little bit confusing at times. I don't know why we give points for buys. We could spend a whole captain's run show talking about this, but it's so confusing. But as it stands right now, they're on 15 competition points. The Dolphins are in the top 8. They're on 16 competition points. So they're not far out of it. They just need to find a couple of wins. And as we always say, find a couple of wins consecutively. 2 or 3 wins in a row, and you can climb this ladder so fast.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, you're in a completely different situation in the competition. You're in a completely different situation with your mindset and your attitude towards your footy.
Speaking of mindsets, imagine the mindsets of the blokes that stayed loyal to the PGA Tour.
Huh.
You'd be ropeable. You would be ropeable. You'd be sitting there going, what the hell?
Anyway, when they just say, when they're saying, welcome back, Cam Smith, with your $100
million. Oh, wow. Well, all right. We're going to head to a break. After the break, we're going to preview Roosters versus Panthers. Welcome back to the Captain's Run. Let's get into Roosters Panthers, 7:35, Allianz. Daniel Tupou returns from injury on the wing. Corey Allen moves to centre for the suspended Joseph Suaalii. Panthers news, Cogger replaces Cleary at halfback. Salmon joins the bench. Smithers, what do you reckon?
Yeah, well, I think this is a great opportunity for the Roosters to get up and have a win. Another win after last week. But I was really impressed with Jack Cogger. I want to get your opinion too, Kempe. But I was really impressed with the way he come in. It's almost like they've got a factory line of halfbacks at Penrith at the moment. Mm. So if you think about, like, even the last couple of years, any time that Nathan Cleary didn't play football, it was O'Sullivan that come in and played a very similar style and played, you know, similar movements and all the same sort of plays and systems. And they just fold into that game book, that plan that Penrith play with. So Cogger was, you know, I thought he was pretty impressive. As I said earlier, he set up a lovely try with a nice dink over the top into the corner. But golden opportunity for the Roosters to get another win. And, you know, Daniel Tupou, we haven't seen him for a little bit. He returns on the wing. That's a big in for them. He's a nice target. And Corey Allen, he gets an opportunity as well. Obviously, Joseph Suaalii, he is out suspended with that raised knee. So, I reckon it might be the Chookies here.
The Chookies over the Panthers. Mm. Wow.
Tommy's fist pumping. He's happy.
Fist pumping. Look, I'm going Panthers. I just, the Roosters for me, they just don't look close to the team that we thought they were going to be. I just have to wonder, like, with such a good squad, like, there must be something else going on. I just can't see how so many good players just can't be gelling when, on paper, they are the best of the best. Like, even a guy like Suaalii, ever since that, you know, union announcement, he's been really quiet. Like, he really hasn't been anywhere near the player that we know. We got, obviously, Brandon Smith had a relatively quiet start to the year, got injured. What I will say, in the Roosters' benefit or compliment or whatever, I like Jake Turpin at number 9. I think that they should be using him more often, even when Cheese is fully fit. Just good service, gets through a bunch of work, let Keary do their job. I think that Manu at 6, I'm of the mind, last year I thought he could be a 6. After watching him there for a few weeks now, I don't think he's a 6. I think he's a top tier, best in the game centre, one of the best fullbacks if he can balance, you know, when he runs the ball and that. Yep. I think that most likely it's not a long-term playing him at 6. It just doesn't seem to be working, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. He's most definitely best suited to centre, but they're struggling to find their mojo, aren't they? Particularly with their halves combo and trying to find what best suits, you know, their style of footy. They just haven't found it this year at all. It doesn't look like they've lacked cohesion throughout their entire sort of season with that type of thing. But, yeah, I just think this is a golden opportunity for the Roosters to stand up and take on one of the heavyweights, which, you know, without their main sort of organiser in Nathan Cleary, I think it's, as I said, I think it's a golden opportunity. They should be looking at this as a chance to knock them off at a wonderful stage and a really important stage of the season too, heading through State of Origin. And they've got a couple of representative players there that if you can jag wins right now when you've got players away with Origin and coming back with Origin when you're a little bit tired, a little bit fatigued, if you can get wins now, they're so vital. Mm. And this is a big one for them.
Huge game. Can't wait. Roosters-Panthers, usually a fiery clash. Now let's head to Storm v Sharks. How do you see this one playing out, Smithers?
Well, I tell you what, did you hear the comments from Craig Bellamy after last week's game? He described, this is how he described the Storm's performance. Putrid.
Wow.
Putrid.
Holy.
Now, I've known Craig for a long time. Obviously played pretty much my entire career, barring two games, under Craig Bellamy. And he did have some choice words along those years to describe our performances. But I've never heard the word putrid. That means It was stinking.
Wow.
Stinking Kempy.
Wow.
And I watched that game closely, of course, and yeah, just they just did not look like they were in the game at all. Like there was just some simple drop ball, missed tackles. I think they finished the game with like, they had 11 errors and it was something like 52 missed tackles.
Oh.
Like that's a lot. That is a lot. And it's happened a few times on a few occasions this year for Melbourne. So in reviewing that match, like Craig Bellamy would have been looking at those two parts of the game there. The amount of times they turned the ball over to the Cowboys and the amount of missed tackles that they had, he would have been seething. And I guess that's what he would have been referring to as putrid, that those two parts of the game. They need to bounce back quickly. Quickly, Grant Anderson replaces Justin Olam. That's a big out. Like he is a strike center. Mm. He's one of the best centers in the competition. So that'll be a test for Grant Anderson going into the centers. For the Sharkies, Cam McInnes back in the team can only be a positive for them. Look, I'm leaning towards Storm because they're playing at home, and I reckon they would have copped an absolute pizzling from Craig Bellamy after that game. It would have been a very quiet plane ride back from Townsville. It's a long trip too. It's a couple hours to Brizzy, then another two and a half back to Melbourne. It would have been a very quiet trip back to Melbourne, I believe. But you know, they tend to bounce back after they have those poor performances. The Sharkies, you know, they've been a little bit scratchy too. I think we've been talking about them. They don't seem like the team that we watched last year. It's like they're missing, you know, just that hard edge in defence that we've seen from them for the most part of last year. They can certainly score points. They can find points when they need to, but they are leaking some, much more than what they were last year. So I'm leaning Storm because they're playing at home.
All right, we're going to head to a break. After the break, we got Bulldogs v the Eels. Welcome back to the Captain's Run. Let's get straight into it. Bulldogs v Eels. How do you see it playing out, Smithers?
Oh, well, there's plenty of news at the Eels this week, but I think they'll be good enough. Yeah, no, I think they'll be good enough. Regan Campbell-Gillard, he's back.
Big in.
Huge in. He's been out for, how long has he been out for now? 2 months? Something like that?
Yeah.
Not that long, maybe 6 weeks, where he had that chip bone in the groin when they played that game against the Broncos in Darwin. So I think he'll be up for a huge one. It's a big battle, the two forward packs. Some big boys, some big aggressive boys playing in the middle. So battle of forwards this Monday. I think the Eels will be too strong. Bulldogs, again, we mentioned at the start, mate, they're battling away. They're doing their best. I think the Eels will have just a little bit too much class.
Yeah, I think the Eels with looks as though Dylan Brown is going to play at this stage from what we can tell. And so if Dylan Brown, Mitchell Moses auditioning for a 7 jersey.
Ooh, yes.
So I actually think the Eels get the job done here. I think I've said it, you know, for a few weeks now, but Bulldogs fans, I guess be patient because I think there are good things happening at that club. Yep. I really do.
Yeah, hang in there.
Because they've got a good young side. They've had a bunch of injuries, decimated by injuries, and very rarely, if at all, I'm trying to think of a game where they got complete. There might have been, I'm sure there's one or two games where they got completely outclassed, but in most games they've been in. And that's a good groundwork for a good, gritty team. You look at the Dolphins, you know, they built a whole season off that.
Yes.
But I'm going to go the Eels to get the job done. Now,
are the Doggies a chance if Reed Marnie plays?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think the Dogs have a chance against nearly anyone. That's how
we'll find out Friday.
Yep. Now, time for our sure thing for sure hire, the temporary work expert, surehire.com.au. Who's your sure thing, Smithers?
I'm going the Storm at home. They'll bounce back.
I am going to go the Eels. The Eels are my sure thing this week. Ooh. Sure Hire, Australia's most complete shoring, propping, and traffic product range. Call 1300 Sure Hire. Thanks for listening, guys. We will see you next week.
See you all next week.